Hello, and welcome to another episode of Break the Cycle. Me, your host, Joshua Smith. Hope everyone's having a wonderful Wednesday. It was nice and warm today in Iowa again. I thought the summer was over, and then Iowa took a turn and came back to some warm weather, so it was nice. But let's check out some sponsors. Of course, we have TopLobster.com, the man, the myth, the legend, my good friend and partner on Break the Cycle. Check him out today. You could get this great... This thing's awesome. Seriously, it's like a custom camo hoodie with the Sunset Break the Cycle logo. You can get a 10% discount by using BTC at checkout, or you can join the Patreon, subscribe star, or become a member of the YouTube channel to get a 30% discount on all of his new gear up to 2 weeks before it sees the general population. Guys, I promise it's worth it. Go check it out. And of course, anthemplanning.com for all your emergency and crisis planning needs. Check them out today. See what they can do for your business, home, or personal life. They're doing a wonderful job that the government sucks at. Historically, much cheaper and much more efficiently. I started working on some editing stuff for my fiance recently because she's doing a new YouTube channel. It's going to be really cool, kind of crunchy, organic mom stuff. And she's kind of funny. I'm teaching myself how to use Adobe Premiere, which is, by the way, insane. It's hard. It's hard from the ground floor. It really is. Thankfully, I have some good people that are willing to teach me, and I know how to use YouTube correctly. But I am putting together a good ad for Anthem Planning that's going to come out soon. You guys should check them out and see what they can do, man. They're great. I bet if you're a business owner, especially, they're going to be able to do some great things for you. But guys, got a great show for you today. Good friend of mine. He's returning to the show for the third time. He is the host of Dave vs. Goliath. He's my friend, Dave Casey. Sir, how are you doing tonight?
Oh man, I'm doing great. Good to be here, Josh.
Yeah, you too, man. Hey, thanks, dude. I'm glad you're here. I mean, I'm happy to be here. You know, it's my basement. You know, it's a good.
Oh, place. It's very inviting.
It's a good place.
Very nice.
It's a good place
warm.
To be, dude. So, dude, yeah, you've been going on Dan Smots a lot lately, bro.
Yeah, this is what I figured out, dude. Is that if you go on other people's podcasts, you can work less on yours and just fill it out in other places.
It's true.
So yeah,
it's funny. Yeah. I used to go, you know, it felt like I was doing other people's podcasts like once a week at least.
And OPP, you know me,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, yeah. And then I started doing my own podcast, and it's like people are like, "Hey, can you come on my podcast?" I'm like, "Yeah, let's try and get it figured out."
I got
buddy.
Five of these a week. Yeah, let me do another couple.
I'm
yeah,
really
sure.
trying, you know, and I do try to do some podcasts. I know I got a couple other people that hit me up recently that I'm going to do some shows with, but you know, it is hard, dude. It is hard when, you know,
after five and your job. Yeah. I imagine.
And seven kids.
And you're starting another podcast for your girl, which is amazing. Ah. She'll probably take off on another project.
Yeah. Not that. She's not doing a podcast. It's like a little, you know, 10 to 15 minute episodes, but they're kind of cool. Like the first one that she did, she went and got this like tooth candy thing. I don't know. It's like a jewel on her tooth, but, she did this whole spiel about how, you know, she broke her tooth when she was younger, jumping off the roof or something crazy. And, you know, she talks about vanity and all this stuff. And it's really kind of, it's going to be a cool thing, I think.
I'm excited for you guys. Yeah, that's fun, man.
Yeah, I don't know, man. What else you been up to, bro? How's your show doing?
I'm crushing it, bro. Knocking them dead. Setting the streets on fire.
Nice.
No, man, I honestly started at the beginning of this year. I'm on, you know, I'm not up to 100. I think we're on episode 13 coming up next, but it's me and my buddy. We just shoot the shit, man. We talk about, you know, the global reset, the Klaus Schwabs of the world, and the Libertarian Party a bit. And it's just, like I said before, man, it's good to keep those lines of communication open and talk to your peeps and, you know, stay connected. So yeah, that's why I finally did something of my own.
Sure.
We're having fun.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. You kind of, I don't know if this is going to be offensive or not, but you kind of remind me of like a much better looking, much younger, liberty-based Sam Seder.
Oh, all right. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Way better looking though.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. He's also like, he's like 50 and you're like, I don't know, maybe 40. I don't know.
Yeah. I just turned. I'm 40.
Yeah, exactly. You're pretty close.
Yeah, man. Yeah, we're pretty much the same. Different store, same groceries. Me and Sam see.
Yeah, yeah, way different groceries for sure, dude. Yeah. But you know, now you just got to start bringing on people from the left and then just destroying their argument and then dropping them off the call.
Dude, that's definitely on the agenda, is to bring on people that I don't agree with much on.
True.
That's really where I think I'll have some fun.
You have
I keep getting kicked off social media for arguing with people. I really like arguing with people. So yeah, that's definitely something we'll be doing soon. Is bringing on some pro masker, pro vax, pro lockdown asshole. Shoot the shit.
good. As you should. And you know, I bring people on that I disagree with about things all the time. It's really important. And I'm not a debater on my show. Just because I don't want to cultivate that kind of show. And I think people are noticing, and it's good because you don't want to pigeonhole yourself as a podcaster into just the liberty, because then you just get the liberty based watchers and viewers, and that's it. It's over, you know, and the biggest you can ever get is Tom Woods.
Shit, man. I would settle out of court right now.
I know it's big, but yeah. You know, you'll never be Joe Rogan with it. No, like that, you know,
definitely,
I mean?
Not. And Joe, but you know what, man? Yeah. I used to be in a band and I was always trying to write a hit song. Yeah. And I feel like that was the wrong avenue.
Sure.
I should have just been playing shit that I wanted to play. So that's kind of right now I'm just talking about, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, a libertarian podcast, you've capped yourself. there's a ceiling.
There's a cap. Sure. There's definitely a cap on the libertarian sphere for sure. And you can get bigger, you know, I mean, you can get as big as Dave and Tom, and that's great. You know,
you're out there giving out tacos like the Incredible Hulk to many podcasters like me all the time.
Oh,
bro.
Dude. So that's just because I love you guys. You're my friends, you know?
Yeah, we love you too, man.
Yeah,
you're
absolutely crushing it. So, dude, let's talk about the LNC, okay? This shit is, it's new. Yeah. I got that email this morning, and it wasn't public yet, and it had all the information about the blatant corruption that went on with the New Hampshire stuff. I mean, what's your take on all this stuff, bro?
Oh, man, we spend an awful lot of time on liberty, dude. So when some sweet justice comes around, I love that. I read through that, and awesome, really clear, and pretty much vindicates Karen Ann Harlow's, which, you know, if you have your finger on the pulse here, that should have been pretty clear to you. But yeah, it's good to have that in writing, and I'm excited to see. Are they still, do you think they're still going to go after her and try and remove her for what, decorum?
100% guaranteed.
These guys, or these girls, I should say, mainly these.
Richard Longstress kind of girly, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that guy plus all these, the white women that must be stopped on the LNC need to chill out and relax.
It's such a mess, dude. They're such a mess. Yeah. And it's like to go after Karen Ann, who was the obvious whistleblower, and you're blatantly going after her because she flailed, because you guys weren't listening to her about the corruption that she was telling you was taking place. Like, that's what happened. And so we put together this investigative team, and we put together this investigative team who, I got to be honest, I was a little spectacle of. I'm like, oh, great. It's like three libertarians that we voted on from the LNC that's basically not paying any attention to this shit anyways. And they came back with this report that was scathing. Joe Bishop Hinchman deleted 4,360 megabits of emails.
That's way more emails than I thought.
Yeah, the day before resigning.
Wow.
When asked about it, he said, sorry, that's attorney client privilege, mm-hmm. which is him saying basically that as chair, he was acting as a lawyer for the party as chair, which is bullshit. Absolute bullshit. Yeah. You can't do that. There was questions from the members of the LNC and members from the LPNH that about Steve Bannon funding the Mises Caucus to get New Hampshire off the ballot, the New Hampshire Libertarians off the ballot. That's hilarious. That's something that I never heard.
Dude.
I wish Steve Bannon was fucking funding us. That'd be great. He's got tons of money. Tons.
Right. We'll take those alt-right bucks.
Yeah. Pass those dollars on over, man. We got shit to do. But I mean, what else was in there? Dude, there was so much in there. And then Jackie Perry sent us a message on the list today, freaking out because one of the members tried to get a hold of her repeatedly, and she's like, he was stalking me, and then he didn't even get my statement for, you know, this stuff. It's like, really, it doesn't matter. You had nothing to do with the corruption.
Didn't she get the boot from the party?
Yeah, so the New Hampshire board, like, one of their first things they did after they got elected was vote to remove Jackie Perry's dues from the party completely. It was absolute beautiful justice.
So based. You guys are fucking
so
awesome.
Beautiful.
Way to go.
You know, after, you know, you can't just go around calling everyone fucking racist and Nazis and women and misogynists and all this shit over and over and over again.
We got it here in this party right here in my state, bro. These fucking assholes are still doing it. A half a dozen of them still running with that line, dude. It's I can't believe it. It's everywhere. It's the whole country. It's like a microcosm. Ugh.
It's wild. A-holes. Well, let's talk about let's talk about Delaware. So you're in Delaware. What happened? Yeah. What happened there?
So we had like a good portion of a Mises caucus takeover here a couple months back. So my county that I'm the chair of now is pretty much. The board anyway is all Mises caucus people. We're having a great time. We're doing some fundraising. We're planning events. But yeah, there's still a good portion of people here. I don't know if you saw that girl, Carol Moore, that woman, Carol Moore on Twitter, man. She's called Mike Heiss like a Nazi and inferred like just the worst things, like no less than a couple dozen times, bro. These people like are inflammatory. I've heard us called the brown shirt caucus, the MAGA caucus, all this shit, dude, like just still perpetuates, still in our Discord. Like every day they put this stuff out, share it. I try not to engage them because it's bad for my chi, but I can't help it sometimes. And they're just, some of them are in leadership, man. And they just frequent those fakertarian sites, the cathedral caucus crap, and they share that. But yeah, it really gets me when they share like, Z Kyle memes and it's just like disgusting, man. These people are repugnant.
There's so many Jews in the Mises caucus too. I mean, can you you know what I mean? Like I was talking about this today. Like I'm half Israeli. I'm not actually Jewish, but when they, you know, when the fakertarians start going in on me as a Nazi, I tell them I'm Jewish. You know, and they're all free. I walk into that fakertarians group like once a week and just drop like a total troll post on them and then leave. Like I don't even get back on Facebook for like a week. I barely use Facebook at all. But you know, they're calling Jews Nazis and shit. And it's like, what the fuck is wrong? What kind of person does that? Like, do you realize that you're the bigot, right? Like you are the bigot.
Yeah, they're gross. They're really awful people, dude. And preventing us from doing it's funny. Like I always wondered why the party couldn't do shit. And then I got in it. I'm like, oh, well, it immediately made perfect sense that there's assholes here. And I'm sure this is a microcosm of everywhere else that prefer to have a little thing where there's four people or six people in the county party. And we can just have our private thing and have sleepovers and get smashed together and, you know, never do anything. So, yeah, when all these people came in and flooded it, you know, this past convention season. Those lines about, you know, dude, the same shit like John Brennan would say. These people are saying within our party, man. It's,
right.
It's disgusting. Like, and you're right. Like. To say that about Dave Smith or you know, another Jew in the party, like that's just, it's, I don't know, man. I can't think of much worse than that. Like you can call people names. I don't care about that. Call me an asshole. Call you an asshole. Call Mike Heiss an asshole.
To be clear, we are assholes.
Yeah, absolutely. Like it might be, that might be, you know, well-deserved, but yeah, you cross that line. Like when people can get fired and whatever, I don't know. I have little to no tolerance for that. So
yeah, I've had my job threatened several times, you know, and
yeah,
it's funny because I'm just waiting for the day that one of them sends an email to my boss, because my boss and I, like, first of all, my boss follows me on Twitter, but I'll come in the morning, I'll be like, hey man, these guys online are saying that they're gonna send you an email because I called someone a retard. He's all, they sound like retards. You know what I mean?
That's cool. He's on your
yeah,
team.
That's my boss. And I'm like, okay, yeah, send away, man. Good luck. You know, hey, good luck, guys. Yeah. You know, it's not like I'm dropping in bombs and shit like that. I don't do that. But you know, my boss is probably more of an extremist than I am, to be honest with you. He hates everybody. That. He hates everybody on both sides.
That's awesome.
You know what I mean? CD McRae, thanks for the $5 super chat. She said, Dave versus Goliath is your hit song, Dave.
Word.
Word up. And Tim Brown, thanks for the 99-cent super chat, man. I appreciate you. Tyler Bratton, what's up, brother? How you doing, Broughton? You know Tyler. Do you know Tyler?
Oh, yeah.
He's a California dude, man.
Can Trump still win? Can we get him in, dog? Can we get him in there?
I think it's funny, the Trump thing. I think people, like, there's people who are holding out, like, want Trump to run. I think it would be bad for Trump to run again at this point.
I just think they want to keep the threat alive.
Yeah, I think they need. I think if the Republicans were smart, they'd throw their money behind DeSantis.
Oh, he's got to be the guy, right? He wants to do it.
Yeah, I think if the Republicans were really smart, they would throw their support behind DeSantis. If they were really liberty, they'd throw their support behind Thomas Massie.
That would be the best. Just saying, that's not going to happen.
I've always said it's been really cool. It'd be really cool if it was like Tulsi Gabbard, Thomas Massie, and the Libertarian candidate, like Dave Smith or something.
Oh, man, that would be a tough one. It would not be a tough one between DeSantis and Dave Smith, but it would be a tough one between Thomas Massie.
But I feel like no matter what happens, something good is going to happen for Libertarians in that race.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we're going to stop all the wars regardless, no matter what. All of them are going to go after the Federal Reserve.
Yeah. Oh, that would be cool. The trifecta going after him. Yeah, Tulsi, Massey, and Smith.
Of them like the Federal Reserve.
Yeah. She was calling for an audit of that.
Yeah. We'd have to worry about the same things with Tulsi that we worry about with Joe when it comes to the Second Amendment. I mean, you know, but it's all at this point, I just think it's all fucking like empty threats. They're never coming for, they can't come for our guns, dude. They can't.
No.
The gun sales just another, 50% increase or something? I think there's like 2.8 guns for every American in the United States registered.
How about the Russian bullet import, though? I heard that was a big chunk of bullets here, like that we
sure
get.
Yeah, we get a lot of ammo from Russia.
And Biden put a big old blockade on that.
But I mean, those people that were getting the ammo from Russia already have like storerooms full of Russian ammo.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's no doubt about that, dude, whatsoever. I don't know, man. I feel like we'd be pretty good. Now we'd have to worry about shitty economic policies with Tulsi. I don't know where Massey stands on the drug war. I think he's voted against ending the drug war a few times, which is, you know, kind of depressing and shitty. Obviously, Dave would give us everything we want.
Right.
I mean, there's nothing I can think of with Dave that would be bad.
Man, I hate to say it, but I don't know. That would be a really tough. I bet you the Mises caucus, I bet you even Dave Smith would probably reconsider some shit if Thomas Massie got the nomination. If that happened,
yeah,
I bet you that would change everything.
Yeah, it'd be
crazy. Never going to happen.
No, there's no way. The Republicans
are never going to give. Right, exactly. Yeah, they're never going to do
it. Yeah, like Kentucky Republicans, they like him. Because he can win in Kentucky, but like national Republicans that are like cronies would never enjoy someone like Thomas Massie. And we saw it with, we saw it with Ron Paul, right?
Oh God. I can't believe I'm still not over it, bro. I'm still not over it.
Me neither, man. Me neither.
9 years. I'm not over it.
Dude, it's been, it's been 15 years for me.
I got in a little late in the game,
yeah.
And I was just really involved in 11, 12. But
yeah, it's for sure. Like 2008, 2007 is when I found Ron Paul. Some people have been following Ron Paul since, you know, the 80s. You know, I mean, there's people in the Libertarian Party that worked on his campaign in 1988 in the Libertarian Party. So
yeah, dude, this woman in our state party here, who hates the caucus and thinks that we're sexist, awful.
Are you talking about Karen Moore?
Yes.
Is she in Delaware?
She's here.
Dude,
it's the worst place. It's the worst fucking place you could be.
I don't know.
It'll be great some other time. But yeah, there's a couple people here who have kept it really shitty. I think she was there for Ron Paul in 88, and she was she's super pro-choice to the point where I would say that's her. That might be her number one thing.
Yeah.
Which it just, she exudes it. So it's all about, you know, there's not a whole lot of motherly nature there. She's pretty cold, bro.
Yeah, I thought she was, I thought she was gay.
I don't know. But she hates Karen Ann. She says that Karen Ann is the devil and they must go way back. And yeah, she probably was fighting against Ron Paul in 88 when he came in with like a more conservative viewpoint. And that election in 88, she that's the great tragedy here, man. She took pictures. She like documented stuff from the 80s. Like I would want her like coming into the party just a couple months ago. I'd love to like pick her brain and like ask her about, you know, how it was and what we could do working together. But yeah, she's just a spiteful, hateful, awful person.
So yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the one who I'm pretty sure that's the one who sexually harassed Karen Ann Harlow at a convention.
I think so. I think yeah.
I know she was like making posts and comments about Karen Ann Harlow's tits online and all this shit for a long time and like harassing her online. So, I mean,
she's crazy, bro. So yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. She really hates Karen Ann Harlow's. Yes, yeah. Reardon. She hates Karen Ann Harlow's with a passion.
Delaware. Yeah, everybody go join the Delaware Libertarian Party of Delaware Facebook group and go in there and say hi to all these super losertarians and make sure that they know that.
Well, Will McFay's funny, man. So that guy's, this guy's, so this dude, so this guy, he reached out to me before the 2020 convention and he's like, I don't have anything bad to say about the Mises Caucus and you.
Oh my God.
And why would we vote for you? And Delaware actually had me come on and do it was a Zoom call with the board to talk about why they should vote for me with the delegates and stuff. And I talked to Will and who was Sean obviously was on there. Sean Gower.
He's great.
Amazing. Yeah. And then, who was the vice chair
at that point? I'm not certain.
There was like
Brad Thomas, maybe
Dale. I think it was Dale.
He's great. Yeah. He's great. And he's not a meacock, but he's like super fair.
Yeah. So, he's a nice guy.
Everybody loves Dale. So I'm cool with that. And you don't have to be in this caucus. I don't care, man.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like it's just like the commies versus capitalist thing, like, or the commies versus anarcho-capitalist. It's like, you know, you guys can exist in our society, but in your society, we can't exist.
Right. I tell them all the time on the Discord. I'm like, all you had to do was be cool. Like, I wouldn't even know you exist, bro. If you would have just been cool and not yelled Nazi, white supremacist, anti-Semite, MAGA caucus, you know, at the top of your lungs, then, you know, we could all do our thing, man. But yeah, Will is the worst, dude. He's the worst one in the whole shebang. He's been here for like 12 years, just a stick in the mud. Yeah, he's the quintessential fakertarian. And he loves that shit. He has said to me that he believes that this is a liberal state, so we need to appeal to liberal people. He's not even right about that. Like, our government is controlled by Democrats, but the state, people are mixed up. And I don't care, man. This is the Libertarian Party. You can wear whatever cultural hat you want to. But he would like to keep this. You know, man, they want to put whatever sex workers' rights right up front. All the stuff you'd find on fakertarians right up front. They're not concerned about the wars. They're not concerned about the lockdowns in the way that they should be. We've worked really hard on some cool coalitions here, man, and you know, no help from him. He's also, they gave him complete control. He's the webmaster and everything. He controls all of the assets. He hasn't given them up to anybody in the state, including the state chair.
He like resigned, right? Like he left the party.
Well, Sean resigned from his position about 2 months
because before. Of Will, though.
I mean, you should read that letter. It's online from the former state chair to the board. But yeah, he didn't reference Will by name, but he referenced the fact that there were those that were hostile to new people coming in the party and taking a proprietary approach to the party itself. So Will, in a lot of ways, is like, it's like an almost reverse Gilletta Jarvis thing. Like, he is in possession of things. He's at least derelict in his duties as the webmaster. But I'm saying that I believe he's failed to relinquish assets that are not to be in his control. And he sees it other ways and doesn't seem like anybody's really willing to do much about it at the moment. So we just go back and forth on Discord and fuck with each other instead. But yeah, he does make it not very fun so far.
Yeah. And he's just an ugly motherfucker too. Unfortunately,
he's the worst.
Really bad to look at. It's unfortunate.
I hate it.
Yeah. Level Zero, thanks for the $5 super chat, man. He said, "Does Dave think there are any ulterior motives, motives with Biden or his handlers had in botching the Afghan pullout?" Yeah, let's talk about Afghan. the Afghanistan thing. What do you think, man?
Was that year zero? Is that what you said?
Level zero.
Excuse me.
My good friend.
Yeah, I was talking to Dan about that yesterday. Dude, it's so hard to, like, if there's a war that's based on lies and then 20 years of lies, like, how the hell would we have any idea, any kind of understanding of what? So, yeah, like, do I think that, like, Biden had, you know, a change of heart after, like, 50 years of, like, doing the worst things ever in public service? Like, no, I think that this was all part of the thing. Probably the mission that they wanted to do is done, you know, like, got all the heroin, got all the fucking
lithium
minerals that we, yeah, exactly. So we did what we came to do, and now we're going to go do some other shit. We've consumed, and now we're on to the next thing. But yeah, it doesn't look like they care a whole lot about the exit or who is in pain or who's hurting, or I saw the dogs left behind. I don't think, yeah, man, it's always, I don't know. There's so much going on there. So yeah, I hate to take a guess, but yeah, I'm very distrusting of any official narrative. For sure.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be really naive to think that the current administration just pulled out of a war because they wanted to end some wars.
Oh yeah.
Really, really naive. I mean, this is the same guy who voted for the war 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, the Patriot Act, all the shit, the war in Iraq, all of it. I mean, he voted for all of it.
Yeah.
So it'd be really naive to think that he's just pulling out just because he wants to stop a war. Now, I'm happy he pulled out. You know what I mean? I'm never gonna say a bad word about leaving Afghanistan. Was it done wrong? Sure, maybe. You know, but we should have, the most wrong thing that was done about it was that it didn't happen 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You know.
I think the generals are in charge, man. They're making the show. We know that Biden is quick to go, do you want me to talk? Do you not want me to talk? I don't care. Just tell me what to say and I'll fucking say it.
Yeah, just give me some ice cream. Let me go chill.
Yeah, exactly. And they're all kind of like that. Bush is just like, just prop me up. Obama, he's an actor. Like, they just kind of do this dance, man. Trump, that's what he did for 40 years on TV. Just put me in front of some dummy cards and I'll read whatever. So if I had to guess, if I had to conspiracy theorize with you, I would say that Biden will probably be the fall guy, the guy that they make look weak so that the pendulum can swing back harder towards like a strongman figure. Maybe it'll be DeSantis, you know, because if he gets elected, we know he's a vicious Zionist. So great. We can, you know, maybe not have to wear masks here. But that'll be okay because we'll be on to, like, you know, some kind of new plan by then, bro, that we don't even know about yet. But
right.
Yeah, man, they're always, you know, 20 steps ahead.
Of course. Brad Thurston, thanks for $5 super chat, man. I appreciate you. Ricky Bev, man, he said, did you guys see Jared on Pete Quinones yesterday? The idea of leave your gear, leave your rifles and hit the bricks was floated a number of times.
What's that mean?
Well, I think, you know, in Afghanistan, just leave everything and hit the bricks, like go.
So, but they said that I heard that the government was done pulling people out, but that there were, you know, whatever flights pulling people out still, like privately. Have you heard about that? Like, are people still getting out? And
I don't know. I did know, I saw a tweet the other day. I couldn't verify it, but it was like somebody I know and was like texting with somebody that they personally know in Afghanistan and saying that we were supposed to leave today. We were supposed to leave, but I think it was their captain, their command captain or whatever, for their base, actually canceled their exit because they had to clean the base.
And what the fuck, like, bro?
What the fuck?
Clean it. We got to clean up before we leave.
Which makes sense. If you've ever been in the military, it actually makes a lot of sense.
Leave it better than we found it, guys. Yeah. It's Afghanistan, okay? It's not your fucking bedroom.
When I was in the Navy, I try to explain to people. People are like, oh, what'd you do in the Navy? I'm like, well, when I was out to sea, I worked with fuel and fuel systems, and that's what I did. When I was in port, I was a housekeeper. It's basically how it worked. And, you know, when we were out to sea, I wasn't doing my job. I was coming into work every day for like 4 hours on the ship and cleaning some spaces, polishing some brass, and then getting back in my car and going out, leaving. You know, I mean, that was like, that's what you do in the Navy when you're not out to sea. And I don't think a lot of people understand that. I mean, unless you're in like a squad or something, but if you're like a shipboard sailor, like stationed on the ship, that's what you do. That's it.
Bro, you did right after 9/11, you signed up and you went out and did that, right?
Right after, yep.
Oh man, you're lucky you turned out so cool, bro.
A lot of us did, man. A lot of good.
I mean, I'm glad that, you know, I know that people come back fucking scarred for life, and and I just hate to think about that. I almost signed up. I'm glad I didn't, but yeah. But I remember being really pissed off. Let's go get these bastards.
Same. You know, that was me.
Right afterwards. Yeah.
That was me exactly. I was like, that's it. I'm done. You know, I'm not going to let these people attack us and then just sit here and do nothing. Like, I'm going to go take, you know, me, I'm a man of action. You know, dude,
this is what they exploit. This is a very awesome, innate thing that humans have that want, you know, yes, I will lay my life on the line to defend my home and my people from an apparent threat.
Hi, kids.
Are you sick to death of pussyfooting around the truth while being constantly fed lies by news and big tech tyrants? If so, then come join me, Dan Smotz, on The System Is Down, where we get weird, have fun, and dig into all the dangerous taboo topics like conspiracies, politics, religion, culture, current events, and everything your family just prays you don't bring up around the Thanksgiving dinner table. And I know that reality is scary to some people, so if you're easily offended, just ignore this and go back to making cat memes or whatever. But if you're ready to change the world for the better, come join me on The System Is Down at tsidpod.com or wherever you get podcasts. That's tsidpod.com, because the system is down and truth is taking over.
Like, that's really cool. And they exploit that to make you do obviously other things, serve the banking cartels and the war machine and throw you in a meat grinder. But that's that they have to exploit that intention first, which is a good thing, man.
It's true. They did. And they did, you know, they made us all scared of the war on terrorism, and it had to be fought. And then they spent 20 years fighting it, man.
Yeah.
Sucks.
Yeah. God, I'm still, again, still so very bitter about that. I was 20 years old when 9/11 happened. I'm 40, bro. I can't believe it. Like I'll be perfectly honest, I've been fairly obsessed with that event since.
I know.
Yeah, I know, you know, but I feel like, you know why? Because if we don't really solve that mystery, kind of like if we lose it throughout history, you know, we'll just be lost, because you got to have solid ground.
Right.
We have to kind of remember what it was before that, why they did that, what they took away, all the things that came after it. And, you know, we could never have this COVID madness without that. It's all built on the incrementalism. So yeah, that's kind of ground zero where it all fucking
exactly ground zero
went to shit.
Yeah, no shit, dude. It's I don't even know what to say like about our country right now, man.
Bro, I'm putting out an ebook. It's coming out soon called Scott Horton Is Wrong About 9/11. I expect it to be wildly unpopular, but it's coming out.
Yeah, I'm also putting one out that's called Scott Horton Is Wrong About Nick Sarwark.
Yeah, should be definitely volume two of that shit, and it.
I talk about it all the time. I love Scott, you know, and me and Scott, Scott and I see eye to eye on just about everything.
He's a titan in our world. Yeah.
Eye to eye on just about everything, but we just can't. I can't see eye to eye with him on Nick Sarwark not being a Fed. Like, he's got to be a Fed. I know
with
he's
you on that one, buddy.
Yeah. Yep. There's just no doubt. There's no doubt in my mind after working with a guy that he's nobody else would act the way he acts unless they were trying to create chaos purposely.
Nope.
I just can't. I can't get it. I can't understand. What do you guys think? What do you guys think in the chat? You think Nick Sarwark's a Fed? You think Scott Horton's wrong about Nick Sarwark? Should I write that ebook?
Coming out soon. That's ready to set the streets on fire with that one.
It's going to be 7 pages long. 7 pages ebook. It'll be free if you sign up for my email list. Although we do have you do get now like a free, like over 200-page book if you sign up for my email list.
Nice.
Yeah. I didn't write it though. My buddy, my buddy Josh wrote it. And it's called Second Story Work, and it's a really, really cool book that everyone should read. He's a Canadian, but he's a cool Canadian.
Okay.
He's not one of those.
Give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a cool.
You got the team, man. Shout out to Top Lobster, that dude, man.
That's my homie, bro.
You sent me that artwork for the show a couple days back. I swear to God, dude, I got fucking emotional looking at that shit. God damn it. So thank you, man.
Yeah, he's great, man.
You guys are a great team, man. You know what he reminds me of? You used to play in bands too, man. So I think this is the Top Lobster secret. So when I played in bands, I played guitar and I wanted to sing, right? Everybody wants to be up front and be the showman. And, you know, it's no coincidence right now that trying to podcast, right? Do my own thing. But Top Lobster would be like the keyboard player in town who plays in everybody's band, right? So he touches down on everybody, so everybody knows him. And every time he makes an original piece of art for somebody, you like create a real connection there. Right. So like I just think he's got the best business model. He's obviously like super talented, but yeah, that's that dude, man. I appreciate him so.
Yeah, he always talks about how I have him down in the basement doing art for me, but really he's strong. He strong armed me though. That's what really happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, hey, I made you a logo. By the way, I'm going to just do all your shit on your show now, basically. And you're not going to say anything about it. If you do, I'll kill you. That's basically what he did.
However you have to make it happen, you guys should be really proud of yourselves.
No, he did come to me with a logo, and he sent the initial logo, and I was just like, wow, that's really fucking cool. Hey, I have this idea for thumbnails, dude. Do you think you could help me out? I had no idea that he was going to hand draw them all.
Dude, it's so sets off the whole thing every time and like gets people excited about the show in way in advance. It's just a really great recipe you guys have.
Yeah.
You did it right.
He's a smart guy, man. Plus he makes like some of the best clothes. I mean, honest to God, like if you have not gone to toplobster.com and checked out his gear, like it's amazing.
Oh, I did, bro. I used the BTC code. I got myself the fuck the state, that little old lady.
Oh,
that
I love
horrible
that
lady.
Yeah.
It's so awesome.
You know, if you join the Patreon or the Subscribestar, become a member of the YouTube channel, dude, you can get all of his new gear as it comes out 2 weeks early, 30% discount, dude.
Shit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like one of the that's
pay for itself.
Yeah, dude. I mean, if you join at like the $5 or $10 level, it's like $10 a month. If you buy like a shirt from Top Lobster every month, it literally pays for the membership. And you know what I mean? Like, because he puts out new gear at least like once or twice a month.
It's so awesome. He's got his finger on the pulse too,
dude. He always puts out like just perfect timing with all this gear and you know, when he did that Noda shirt, when Nick Sarwark got noted. He put out that Noda shirt and then says break the cycle on the ribs real small, you know.
Great.
And he sold, I mean, I think he sold like 30 or something of them like that night.
He's quick, like a meme maker is quick with a meme. He's quick with a t-shirt line of right. clothing. Like, it's awesome, dude.
Yeah, he's amazing, dude. Fucking love the guy to death. Who wore it on whose show? CD McRae. What did you wear? I don't know. I'm trying to follow the chat, I swear. It's so hard. It's hard to follow chat, dude. That's why super chats. I had somebody get all mad at me on Twitter because you only read the super chats. And I was like, well,
I heard that one.
It makes them bigger. Of course. I can see them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And they paid for it, right? I mean, that just makes sense. So
yeah, like, you know, I don't know. It's like a guest show, right? So I'm supposed to be like spend all my time like focusing on my guest. But if people pay for questions for the guest, like we're gonna ask the guest the questions, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So I don't know. I don't know why people got hard.
People always got something to complain about, bro.
Yeah. So what do you think is going to come from all this stuff on the LNC now, bud?
Oh, sweet, sweet justice. We got to think, man.
Yeah.
I'm trying to only pop white pills lately. So, yeah, man, I don't know. It's funny to like watch this play out nationally and I'm kind of going through the same shit locally. It's like this weird microcosm. And it's always in the back of my head, John Brennan on TV, even libertarians, right? Cause they're coming after everybody's in the dragnet. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. But I know that John Brennan's probably heard the name Mises Caucus before.
Yeah, I'm sure of
that's
it.
That's probably showed up on his desk.
I mean, is there any doubt that like Michael Heiss and Dave Smith went on Timcast in real life and then 2 days later they pulled down the Facebook group? I mean,
right. Do you have to be a conspiracy theorist to say that? Like, you shouldn't. You should just go, oh, yeah, of course, that they would fucking take that down after.
Of course they would.
Right. All evidence would point to that. Yes.
Yep. Who do you think's the next Ron Paul, man?
Oh, man. That's really tough because, you know what, dude, it should have been his kid. That would have been the easiest one. And he didn't come even close.
Nah,
so
that apple fell pretty far from the tree.
Yeah, I'm trying not to, you know, like if we never see another Ron Paul, like I wouldn't be surprised. That's the thing. But dude, when I was introduced to Ron Paul, I thought, you know, we really needed a president. We really need to have somebody up there, like a national daddy figure, like telling us what to do and all that shit. And, you know, at the end of Ron Paul, I was like, okay, we do not need that.
Right.
That's not the thing that we need. So that's a gift. I don't know. Like in politics, yeah, like Thomas Massie is great. He seems really consistent and honest. So, I mean, yeah, he's maybe the closest, but
I think it could be Eric Brakey.
Yeah. Okay. I
do you know Eric?
I don't know. Yeah. I've seen him on some debates, but
he's up there in Maine, somewhere close to you, I think.
He's great. I'm not putting your Maine shit. But I don't know. He doesn't get me pumped up like Dave Smith gets me pumped up.
Sure.
Like, I don't get the goosebumps like Ron Paul, like Dave Smith can do. Even Tom Woods, man, can give like a fiery speech. But like, to be Ron Paul, you have to be electric. you know?
Yeah.
Not only do you have to be morally consistent and fierce and, you know, unwavering, but yeah. Yeah, that's a lot to ask of anybody.
For sure. Yep. Yeah, I agree, man.
Sure.
I agree.
I wanted to drop one of those. Sure.
It's guys, drop sure's in the chat. There's a custom emoji for members of the channel now that says sure.
I love it, dude.
Like the old school Break the Cycle font that Top Lobster made. I don't know if That's anybody awesome. Has noticed that yet, but I added it the other day. I finally got enough members I could add a new emoji. So you got a sure emoji now for every time I say it. It was funny. He's also really good about doing the emojis for certain guests. Like when I had Austin Peterson coming on, he made a nuke emoji.
Awesome. God, so great.
It was really funny, dude. Like I was laughing pretty hard. So what's next for you, man? What do you got? What are you going to do in Delaware? How are you guys going to fight back against Will McVay and get your shit back?
Oh, good question, man. Well, you're helping right now. Like I said, if anybody out there knows anyone in Delaware, tell them to go to takehumanaction.com and get in the party and fill it up with cool people. We are doing some cool stuff here, and we're teaming up with like the Delaware Medical Freedom Alliance for, the COVID stuff and lockdowns and mandates. These poor nurses and healthcare workers are going through a lot. We're working with, Patriots for Delaware group, like some gun groups and some, normal from around here. So dude, yeah, it's the Mecaw way of just like kind of coalitioning with people on issues. And we're having some fun. So, I'm meeting some great people. And to those people who don't really kind of vibe with the political stuff, I get it, but it's almost like we're forming our own like freedom cell too, man. Like these people of the Mises caucus variety, they're about as legit as it gets, and oftentimes like me, like hesitant to even get involved with politics, but we got to do something, man. So, yeah, we're working hard, and I'm going to DC this weekend to see Ron Paul speak. So I'm fucking pumped about that. Taking Dan, the co-host of my show, and we're going to go get inspired.
Where's that at? What event is that?
It's the Institute is putting on something called the War on Us, and it's I'm pretty sure Ron Paul and Judge Knapp, and I'm not sure about anybody else, but I'm gonna try and get myself a picture with Ron Paul and tell him he's my hero.
You should
It'll be a good day.
He's not getting any younger, man.
Yeah, this will be. I saw him in 2012 in the rain in Philly when he came and gave his speech there. It was a couple thousand people. That was a beautiful day, man. People smiling in the rain for Ron Paul. But no, I didn't get to say hi that day. So I'm hoping that this one, I'm going to wear a nice suit. I'm not going to put fucking cargo shorts on for my picture with Ron Paul. You know what I mean? Fuck that.
Oh, how about some khakis and a polo, man? Like Michael Heiss. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's not my look, bro.
I'm not a polo guy myself. I wear polos to work, but that's it. And only because they gave them to us for free. So
Mike Heiss just got himself a nice suit after being pestered.
I've been pestered forever. Wear a suit. Don't ever chew gum when you're speaking ever again.
Yeah, he's going to get some shit for that for a while.
Dude, for a while. I was showing the thing to my fiance because I was like, I want you to see Dave and these guys speak at this, this event that they put on. And she's like, why is he doing that? Why is he doing that? Why is he chewing gum like that while he's speaking? Why is he doing that for? And I was like, I really don't know. I don't know.
Amazing.
I told her it's because Mike gets like extremely nervous when he speaks. He's right. Never been like a public speaker. And in fact, the first time I ever met Heiss was at the Pennsylvania State convention in like 2017 when I was running for chair. I think that might have been the first time we actually ever met and hung out. Anyways, so I showed up and he gave like a little speech, and he was like, you could see his hand shaking with the mic, and he was like almost like he was on stage for like a band, you know. He's like moving back and forth and up and down, and I was just like,
yeah,
I was like, man, he's really nervous. So I understand why he was chewing the gum, you know what I mean? Like, he's like, okay, put the gum in your mouth. And
but he's got cameras all around him, and it's his show, so he knows it's going to be on the internet in like 2 days. That's the fun. But I love that he was comfortable enough to, like, you know, just be jumping on that shit.
It was hell. It was so funny, dude.
Yeah, that's
so
my
funny.
Boy, man. I got to tell you what, man. Quick shout out to him, man. Mike Heiss. I mean, he is literally it took me 4 years, man. I hopped in that group 4 years ago with you and started working with you guys on the graphics and shit like that. But it took me until this year to, like, jump into the political side of it. It took me until this year to, like, kind of take human action. I'm going to drop his hashtag really quick to, like, kind of start my own thing, start the podcast, get more involved, join the party. And I got to say, I'm not sure if this is how it worked out, but Mike Heiss was the guy who gave Jordan Peterson Bob Murphy's choice. And that guy just happened, whatever, I guess it was a couple months ago, but that podcast just dropped of Bob Murphy on that show. I would love it. I mean, it's not certain, but it's pretty clear, probably, that that's his book. That is a great example of taking human action, man. Just making sure that he has this thing, maybe getting, like, I don't know. If you know Mike Heiss, you know how much Jordan Peterson means to him. And I just think that that's fucking incredible to, like, kind of solidify that that node there. He's pretty good at that. So, yeah, shout out to Mike.
Yeah, that was pretty cool to see JP hold up the book that we're all pretty sure Michael Heiss gave him.
Yeah. I mean, this is amazing. You kind of maybe introduced Jordan Peterson to Austrian economics.
Right.
Fucking, that's amazing.
Yeah, you got to say that's a pretty cool feat, because, I mean, Jordan Peterson's worldwide known, huge name, and he's holding up a book on his podcast, basically telling people to read it. And it's the book that Michael Heiss handed to him at his show and said, you got to read this.
This is like one of the in a long line of things that Mike Heiss calls me and tells me that he's going to do. And I go, I don't know, man. Are you sure about that? Like, I think that's what I said when he told me about the caucus. He's like, oh, yeah, we're going to bring the Ron Paul revolution. And I'm like, well, you should call it the Ron Paul caucus then, bro. Because, I mean, I've never heard of this guy, Mises. So, you know, he's like, no, trust me, it'll work out. OK, what do you think about Take Human Action? I was like, I don't know. I don't get it. But yeah, he called before he was going to go to that show. Dude, I got choice. It's like, you know, he goes, I was like, why didn't you give him Take Human Action? That's your call, you know? So no, you don't understand. This is, like, way more digestible. And
yeah.
I'm like, okay, man.
Human Action by Mises is like a, you know, like the fucking Bible. It's huge. Huge.
Yeah.
And it's
not a very enjoyable.
Well, and it's, you know, essentially somebody writing in English that wasn't English as a first language, and you know what I mean, so it is hard to digest Human Action. I think I'm on my third time reading it now, trying to
really
good
for you, man.
Yeah, trying to get through it and figure it all out, and it's a lot, dude. It's a lot.
Yeah,
you know, it's much easier to just read Rothbard and be like, yeah, that's right, that's good, you know. But I started reading Hoppe a lot lately too, and then I just got Hoppe's book, Doing Libertarianism Right. It's pretty good. You should check it out. It's more like a, I don't know, maybe 50, 75 pages or 80 pages or something. It's really small. So,
but we can do that.
Yeah. It's not hard to do, man. Well, brother, what do you got coming up next for you? What's coming up with the show and all that stuff? What do you got going on?
Yeah, man. I'm going to try and do one like every 10 days. So I'm not on a 5-day-a-week schedule.
Yeah.
That's just not going to happen. But yeah, I do put in quite a bit of effort into the video stuff, much like you do.
You actually edit yours though.
I do. Yeah. But we are having fun with it. So there'll be another episode out next week. I had my last one taken down cause I put Alex Jones's name in the title and some clips in it. And I uploaded it to YouTube like a dickhead. Forgot about all that madness. But I re-uploaded that and everything's backed up on Odyssey, so I appreciate those guys. But yeah, I'm on Twitter. That's where it's at, because Facebook has me perpetually banned. But Instagram, Teespring, that's where I got my merch. And yeah, man, that's about it.
Nice, dude. Nice. Well, I'm glad you could come back, dude. I had you on once by yourself, then I had you on the conspiracy couch, and none of us really got to say much on that show.
It was still an honor to be there.
Yeah, like, it was cool to be there, but like, I was like, all right, Ryan, all right, you're cool, man. I love you to death, but can somebody else talk for a second?
Right.
But he, I mean, you know, the guy's smart. He knows his shit. He's autistic as fuck, but you know, it's all
right. Right at the local pool.
Yeah. And they were like on vacation at the lake in Japan. And he's like, I'm taking the kids to the pool, but I'll do this with the screen off. I'm like, oh God, here we go. And he was just going and going and going. And I was like, man, I thought he was going to fight. I think he pissed Smots off at one point.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Smots was like getting kind of uppy with him about the, about John, McAfee.
Oh yeah. That's his boy. I sense that.
Yeah. And then he was, you guys were kind of going back and forth a little bit about 9/11.
Oh, that's my dude. That's the third ebook that's coming out, is that Ryan Dawson is wrong about the Pentagon. That's dropping too.
Your friend Ryan Dawson is wrong about the Pentagon.
That's right.
I don't know. I never really studied the Pentagon stuff very much. Mine's always been attached to the actual logistics of like where it came from and who did it and why, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. Anyways, brother, I appreciate you coming on, man. I'm gonna get this stream ended up, and then we'll do the members only stream. Is that all right with you?
That sounds great, man.
All right, brother. Thanks again.
Peace, dude.
All right, guys. Another awesome episode of Break the Cycle. Dave's so cool. Go follow Dave. Go check out Dave vs. Goliath on YouTube and Odyssey and all those great things. I mean, the guy is just phenomenal. His show is great. He's funny. He puts out a lot of really good content. He's one of my favorite conspiracy theorists. So definitely check him out if you can. Also, check out our sponsors, TopLobster.com, the man, the myth, the legend, my good friend and partner on Break the Cycle, where you can get this awesome Break the Cycle hoodie that I'm wearing tonight for 10% discount by using BTC at checkout or joining the Patreon, Subscribestar, or becoming a member of the channel to get a 30% discount on all new gear up to 2 weeks early if you get into the private Discord server. So do that. Plus, if you join any of those things, you get this awesome after-hours content. Every single show I do between 10 and 30 minutes, maybe longer. Like Ryan Dawson, I think we did like a whole another hour of after-hours content that you can only see if you become a member of the channel or become a member of the Patreon or Subscribestar. So do that. And of course, executive producers the show, anthemplanning.com, for all your emergency and crisis planning needs. Check them out today. See what they can do for your business, home, or personal life. They're doing a wonderful job that the government has historically sucked at, much cheaper and much more efficiently. Guys, coming up on the show tomorrow, my good friend, the ass-eating trucker, Quincy's going to be on the show. It's going to be wild. He has said that he is not going to hold back whatsoever. So I'm very excited for that conversation. And of course, Friday's going to be insane, guys. Scott Horton and Michael Bolden on the same podcast. This is a hell of a team show. I'm very excited. If we thought we couldn't get a word in edgewise with Ryan Dawson on, it's probably going to be much harder with Michael Bolden and Scott on, but it's going to be one hell of a mashup. So you guys are definitely going to want to be there. I'll see you tomorrow for the show with Quincy, but until then, don't forget to break the cycle.
To explain the lyrics of my last song, they seem to contain a violent call to action in the verse and refrain. But I just meant it in Minecraft. The helicopter part was in reference to GTA 5 and the things you do. So any violence you commit, I am not an excuse, because I just meant it in Minecraft. But Timber is my friend and he's constantly cold. Accusations of incitement getting totally old. Make your own choices, yeah, you have control, because I just meant it in Minecraft. Obviously, I would never advocate force, unless there's due process and a trial, of course. And if you're convicted, we will make you a corpse in Minecraft, just in Minecraft. You're nothing, I mean, you know it. Your product is getting close to COVID. Holy shit, I think I'm poor.